You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Like to play when I'm in charge of the panel, I just like to play the music a little bit longer, Don, because I want you to be cognizant.
Are we on air?
Hope so. I want you to be cognizant of the words when I play the song. It says, love is strong, love can be good. I want to get right back to where we started from, Don. You could use that in your general life. You could too, Ivan.
Oh, so we're being philosophical, are we?
Why? No, I just like the song, that's all.
Oh, I see.
Now, wow, have we had some feedback. Now,
we're not going to go through that again.
No, good point. So I'll just get on to that. Well, I met a man. I was speaking to a, you won't believe this, I was speaking to a doctor from Israel. In fact, I had lunch with him. A doctor from Israel. I had lunch with him.
Who remains nameless?
Oh, yes. He does. He wants to be anonymous. I suppose I'm on. The sound doesn't sound as though I'm there. I'm looking at the cadence bars. Anyhow, Don, I'm speaking up now, so here we are. Where we are. So I met this man, he said... Hey, listen, he said, I live in Israel. I see, this must be another person that lives in Israel and listens.
So we've got two.
Well, apparently, unless this is one and the same man, I don't know. But these weren't his words, but he said, give those responses the arse. He said, do that either not at all or at the end. No one's interested in people giving us comments. And then the doctor. Now, do you remember the doctor?
Well, hang on. I agree with the doctor. Doctor from Israel.
Yeah, the doctor.
I agree with him.
This is two doctors. So then the doctor from Sydney, who very kindly rang in, is ringing in again, Don. Ringing in again.
Right. Keep
he
going.
Said, he's just giving us some suggestions. He said, take him or leave him, he said, but... don't read the responses out. He said, do it at the end. So we are taking note, Don. So,
you're taking note.
Yeah, I'm taking note.
Good.
So the doctor from Israel, well, I had a very nice lunch with him out at a place in East Brunswick called Gardy, run by a lovely man called Johnny. Johnny runs Gardy, and he's got a restaurant in the Crown called Gardy, and he's got another one. He's got them everywhere, and he's a very good operator. And I tell you why I'm mentioning this, because I didn't know this, but you might remember, and Johnny didn't say this, and nor did the doctor, but someone told me while we were at the lunch that you might remember Whitney Houston came out and did a performance, was signed to do two concerts.
No, she didn't do anything, did she? Was she sick? I'm asking.
You might remember that Whitney Houston was signed to do two concerts at the Crown Casino. She did one of them and was very good, and then the second one was cancelled because she said she had a sore throat or had lost her voice because she was at Fidel's, the cigar bar or something, she'd been inhaling some of the Bolivian booger sugar. I don't think she said that, but people said that she was, and she was out here with that fucking ratbag Bobby Brown, her husband, so she cancelled the second night.
Yeah.
And then I was swung in to hold the sheet music for Bobby Valentine, who got up the second night, and when people announced, I'm sorry, Whitney Houston...
Hang on. You were to hold the sheet music.
Oh, mate. Because the crowd were there for the second night and they had to announce, I'm very sorry, but Whitney Houston is not going to make an appearance because she's ill. You know that was the excuse. That Bobby Valentine, who is an entertainer, got up out of the audience and he dragged me up, and I just stood beside him while Bobby sang, see?
Oh.
And then the reason me telling you this is that someone said the real reason why this wasn't the doctor and it wasn't Johnny from Gardy, but he said the real reason, this person said, was that Whitney Houston didn't sing because the Crown Casino, listen to this, you'll love this, was in a street called Whiteman Street. Whiteman Street. And she took it, and Bobby, this is the absolutely drug fucked, obviously. Bobby and Whitney said that they weren't going to sing in an establishment that was in a street called Whiteman Street. I said, you're joking. They said, no, that was the official reason they gave. They said...
Well, why isn't that reported at the time?
Well, you probably think about why it's not done. I don't know.
No, hang on.
Because it probably couldn't be substantiated. But they said that was the reason, because... the person who suggested this had an intimate knowledge of the workings and said that was the reason they gave. So that's how the doc,
Now, hang on, we got which doctor we're talking about?
No, this is the Israeli doc.
Yeah.
A font of information. Johnny, see, the doc ordered the one from Israel.
Yeah.
Ordered a pizza marinara.
Right.
And he said, what sort of seafood is on the pizza? Are you listening to this, Ivan?
Yes. Absolutely.
What sort of seafood's on the...
Oh, hang on. I know where this is going. Yep.
Well, go ahead.
Because shellfish and pork are not on the Israeli menu.
No, yeah, but that's true. They don't eat those things.
Yeah.
But this is not by the doc. The doc, I don't think it was actually a... very practicing person of his faith. as we haven't mentioned his name, I think we can say that. Anyhow, he said he wanted to know what seafood was on the marinara. And Johnny, the maitre d' at Gardy, said, well, he said, you know, marinara's got nothing to do with seafood. If you order a spaghetti marinara or any sort of marinara or pizza marinara, it's nothing to do with fish. It's about when the ancient mariners or when the mariners, the people, the fishermen in Greece, came in, they wanted some cheap food on dough and they used to put the tomato base paste on it and put some cheese on it, and it was called the mariner's pizza because nothing to do with what's on the pizza, it was the people who ordered the pizza, so it was called a spaghetti marinara. That's what Johnny
said. So when did they add the seafood?
Well, then it became...
Useless information. I said font, you... Of useless information.
No, but this is the doc gave me this useless information.
Oh, I thought it was you.
No, the Johnny.
I thought it was Johnny,
the maitre d'.
I thought Johnny was giving you all this.
Well, that's not. Yes, he was. He's not useless information. He was telling how marinara came to be named, and then it just from common use they thought marinara, semen, seafood. No, semen, as in not the semen that comes out of the old snake. But the semen, the
fish. Is this in Greece or Turkey? Greece or Italy?
Fuck where it is. It's in Greece.
Well, why? I thought the pizzas came from Italy.
Well, we have them here in Australia, Don. I don't think they're peculiar.
Originated. I thought they originated. Do you want me to clarify everything I say?
No, he is Italian. That's correct. He is. Johnny is Italian, and he's got a lovely restaurant. So
what are we doing? What's this a plug for? You're giving a reason
I'm
for
telling
the
you,
marinara or Johnny's pizza shop in East Brunswick.
No, I'm not giving. I'm telling you how Whitney Houston.
Oh, we're on. Oh, yeah, Whiteman Street.
Because this was the conversation.
Oh, I see.
How Whitney Houston ceased to do her second concert, and then how marinara is not marinara. It's
fish. It was a big day at the lunch. When was this luncheon?
It's a very big day.
Yeah, I know.
And the doc said by no means mention his name, so we're not doing that.
That's very good for you, to a little bit of restraint on your behalf.
Well,
congratulations.
Your name might be struck off the register.
Your name
so,
might
so,
be.
So then, Don, just before we get on to the doc, the other doc in Sydney said, get on with the topics immediately. He said, don't fiddle faddle around. So just before we get on to the topics, Ivan here says that you asked him to change his clock. your clock in his car the other day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
is that all right with you?
Well, Don, you had to, and I bring this up because I'd love to read out a comment someone said, but we'll do them at the end.
No, don't read out any
comments. Be reading them out, Don. A couple of comments at the end.
It is self-indulgence on your behalf.
So Ivan said he was just...
Why don't you look at yourself in the mirror all day? That'd satisfy you instead of listening, reading your comments.
I haven't read any comments.
That's good, and I hope you don't.
So Ivan said he was about to decamp, that is leave, yesterday, or last week, and you summonsed him over to the...
No. You're taking a bit of poetic license
here. All right, go ahead.
We went and got coffees for you, if you remember, and he was in the car, and I don't know how to work the... A lot of things technically.
We're trying to get sponsors, Don. Watch your language.
Technical pygmy. Is that a good word? If you don't adapt, you become extinct. And I reckon I'm on the verge of becoming extinct. But anyway, Ivan did help me.
So, Ivan, all right, I stand correct. You didn't summons him over. You're in the truck with him in that car.
He came and helped me get a coffee for you.
That's right. And you said, Ivan.
No, don't. You're taking a bit of poetic license here.
Could you help me change the clock?
And Ivan said, yes, Don, if you got the manual and...
I'm not going to ruin a good story. I'm going to be the brunt of another fucking human story.
Don, language.
I'm getting exasperated. If I use that word, fuck, you can see I'm becoming exasperated with
all
you.
All right, well, all right, Don.
You're embellishing the story.
There goes some potential sponsors, Don.
And then I changed the clock.
Yes, go on, Ivan. This is Ivan.
10:05. And
that's
then,
right. Well
then
done.
You mentioned to me, are you sure you got the right time? And I said, yes, it's around about 10:05.
That's right.
And then you said, make sure it's calibrated.
This will be a boring story, Ivan.
No, I like it, Don, that you couldn't change the clock in your
cannot,
car.
I admit, I asked, and he's very good. Thank you very much. It frustrated me.
How long was it blinking at you?
Oh, for a while.
Right, so that's that. So I'm sorry to bore everyone with that. And then the other thing was, Don, I went to the Life Members, the AFL Life Members function the other day.
First one you've turned up to.
That's correct. They were very delighted to see...
You?
No, they were very delighted to see people who are actually under the age of 90 at it. No, it was good. It was good. And Des Tudnam and John Nichols run it. Yeah. And Mike Brady sang at it.
Oh, cool.
And it was mentioned that you were asked but declined.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go, Don? I could have sat...
Because I was working.
What's 6 o'clock on the night, were you?
Well, I had a horse to work. I've got two horses to work and they get worked every day.
Every what?
Every day.
Every day. This was at night, this function.
Doesn't matter. That's when
you could
I
have
work.
Stayed at
I
my
work,
place.
I work through the day and it worked my horses
and
after
then you get
work.
A bit weary. You could have stayed
very
at my...
Very tired.
Yes, I do too. You could have got stayed at my place after...
And that had been an intellectual conversation.
We wouldn't have spoken.
Oh, that's
you'd
right.
be in a completely different room to me.
That's right.
So, and now I'm just...
And you wouldn't have had any bed clothes. Last time I stayed, I froze.
What?
Well, you had no bed clothes. I froze last time I stayed.
Well, that's news to me. How long ago
was that?
That'd be 4 or 5 years ago.
That's right.
Oh, well, you just brought it up now.
Well, that's why I haven't stayed. I would have frozen again. I had to get a water bottle at night.
So I'm just mentioning now, but then we're getting on to an early topic because the doc is ringing in at shortly.
Which one?
No, not the doctor from Israel, though.
I think
do you know who he's a neurosurgeon?
No. Oh, jeez, why don't you just say his name?
No, I'm not.
Do you really?
Oh, there's neurosurgeons around the world. They have a convention in Las Vegas every year. There's millions of them turn up.
From Israel?
No, I said there's plenty of neurosurgeons in Israel, at Tel Aviv and Jerusalem.
And they all turn up to what? Conferences around the world.
No, they have a big conference in Las Vegas.
Oh.
And they discuss neurological surgery and
they all
amongst
come from
gambling.
Israel.
And
why don't they just meet in Israel instead of going to Las Vegas?
And renting the cocktail waitresses there for all the functions. I don't think they chat much about
neurosurgery. I reckon they could save a lot of money if they just all got together in Israel.
No, because they have to have a common place so people from the globe can meet at this convention centre.
What, do you think they get up to no good or are they...
get up to no good.
Well, why would they get away from their homeland?
Well, because it's an equidistant from in the middle of the planet. People just converge on particular places.
So the world revolves around Las Vegas.
It revolves around the cocktail waitresses.
In Las Vegas.
Who service the neurosurgeons. Not the man I spoke to.
But his friends, compatriots.
Well,
or
I'm
colleagues.
Not making a general statement.
What you're saying is that neurosurgeons are a little...
No different from anyone else, Don. No different from anyone else. They all congregate in these big areas, and it's like cocktail waitresses, yes.
Right.
Yes, that's the
polite
way.
So we can read into this, can we?
Yes, we can, Don. And they gamble.
I don't know about these neurosurgeons.
No, don't malign them. So, and the only thing I'm reading out, Don, before we get onto a topic, is that one person, and I'll mention his name. This was on Instagram. Don't worry, I'm not mentioning it. I'm only saying this for a reason. Aaron Grinter. Do you know Aaron Grinter?
Oh, next door neighbour.
What?
Next door neighbour. As if I'd know bloody Aaron Grinter. How would I know Aaron Grinter?
Oh, well, he's put his name. I thought you might have known
is
him.
Is it a pseudonym? Aaron Grinter.
Well, it could be a pseudonym. I don't know why he would. He's Aaron Grinter. Not Rodney's son, would it be? Anyhow, he said...
Or Barry's?
Barry Grinter. Who's Barry Grinter?
Played for Essendon. Don't you remember? And Richmond.
All right. Well,
I think he came from Ararat. Okay. Policeman.
Yes. So this is what...
Yes, if you know.
This is what Aaron said, Grinter. Now, I'm sorry, but we're trying to get sponsors, but this is what Aaron said. How the fuck...
Oh.
Now, this is what Aaron said.
Read it out.
How the F do you let that arrogant prick, Sam, this is me, rubbish you, Don?
Oh,
fuck. He's taken exception to me saying, sometimes, Don, sometimes when I look at you that you could possibly be dumb or not the sharpest or there's a
tool in the shed.
Kangaroo loose up in the top paddock or...
Sharpest tool in the shed is the word.
And then he said, why do you keep chipping him about the letter H?
Oh, yeah, here we go.
And I said, because I'm telling this to Aaron now.
So hang on, is this a conversation going on between you and Aaron?
The only conversation
Facebook
over that Aaron is reading this out now, I'm telling him publicly that H is the way you say that letter and there's no other alternative, that's A. And B... He said, what about, I think you said someone contributed to the...
Contributed.
And the word is not controversy, it's controversy. So could anyone... We're in an English-speaking language at this stage. We're in an English-speaking country at this stage. It might change the way things are going with everything going.
Well, it is on the change.
But controversy, contributed and H are two glaring examples of how people have no idea... how to speak.
Well, I'm glad you're around to correct us.
Okay, so, Don, now I could open up with a topic or have you got something to start with?
Go ahead.
I've got them here, but go on.
Well, I was just...
Sit up.
I was just astounded, and it happened after we'd done last week's podcast, how Parliament has just sunk to the lowest of lows. E.g., there's a lady in Canberra, and I Googled her. I'm good on YouTube, and I watched her performances in YouTube. Her name is Lydia Thorpe. Now, she's a Greens representative in the Legislative Assembly in Canberra. She represents the Greens in Melbourne, I think it is, or around that area.
Try and keep your voice at a constant pitch,
will you? Shut up
and
listen.
Because I'm watching the cadence bars. They go up and down.
When she spoke... Or she threw in, as they interject in Parliament, she said something about a pity this woman couldn't keep her legs closed. Now, they're going off at the moment about...
Meaning what? I know what that means, but why did she say, did the woman have a reputation?
I don't care. There is no excuse for that. You know, and they're going on about George Christensen at the moment. Now, here's a male that gets a hell of a lot of airplay over his... right-wing views or something, it's taken up the media, yet this lady wasn't really brought to task. Okay, she apologised and retracted the statement. Then the leader of the Greens, Adam Brand, didn't do anything about it because she retracted the statement and apologised. Why should you even say something like that in Parliament or anything, anywhere to somebody?
Why can't you keep your legs together?
She directed at another parliamentarian in the Legislative Assembly, a female in the Legislative Assembly. Now, and I've watched her, and then consequently I went onto YouTube. I didn't know about her. And Pauline Hanson was making a speech about Indigenous people. Now, she is Indigenous, and she got up and raised the fact that she was...
Pauline Hanson's Indigenous?
What's her name? Lydia Thorpe is Indigenous, and she was constantly interjecting about being bullied in the workplace. It was refuted by the Speaker, who said that no, she didn't have a point, but she just continually got up while interrupting Pauline Hanson's speech. Now, I just wonder whether there's a play where Parliament's going, and obviously she's an activist, but I reckon there's got to be a degree of decorum. And why hasn't this received more publicity? Is it because she is a female? Is it because she's Indigenous? Whereas George Christensen get up and says something about the right, and he's getting castigated.
Yes, to both those questions, what? Don, you're quite correct. Because she's a woman and she's Indigenous, that's why they wouldn't pick it up or go with it. Now, Don, so it's the Speaker's job to reprimand anyone who says stuff like that.
But isn't it the leader of the party?
I'm asking the Right Honourable Member to withdraw that summarily, and then he waits. And order again, please.
But the Speaker, in all fairness, didn't hear the comment.
Oh, didn't he?
That's what he said on YouTube. that's the only place you'll watch it.
Ease up, Don.
What are you talking about? Ease up.
I'm not saying you're wrong. The Speaker didn't hear her say...
He did. That's what she... No, it was he. He, I think. Mm-hmm.
The Speaker. Sir Les Paterson. Do you remember Sir Les Paterson? Yes. He said once on
Wasn't he the Minister for Arts?
Yeah, the Marts.
Cultural attaché.
He said on Parkinson's show once...
You know what his problem was?
No, Don?
Well, he was very well endowed. He had to...
Yes, he had a hard on most of the time
that's
he spoke.
Right, and you could see it in his trouser leg.
Yes, that's correct. Mm. He said on Parkinson once he was talking about how he had to meet dignitaries, females from other people and other countries, he said. And this woman was had a brand of perfume out, and someone said the perfume was very nice, and she said...
Could I interject quickly? Do you think this is appropriate in today's society, Les Paterson, bringing up Les Paterson?
No, it's not, Don. But you brought up someone about Lydia Thorpe saying that she couldn't keep her legs together, so I thought
was... Oh, OK, right on.
So the woman said, someone said to Les, what perfume? He said, perfume smells very nice. She said, yes. I put it behind my ears to attract men. And they said to Les, what would you like a woman to put behind her ears to attract men?
Okay, yeah.
And so Les said, well, I'd like her to put her ankles behind her ears. That'd attract me. Mike, you know what I mean? You're with me? All right, so you're not happy with the tone and the decorum.
No, I just think they're too standard, that's all.
Incidentally, Don, speaking of drugs, were you speaking of drugs? You weren't. No, you weren't. You said Les. I thought you meant Les was on drugs, but you might have taken a drug to get the John Thomas up and about.
No, there was no... reference to drugs at all. You're just taking a bit of license again. Yeah.
Someone who I know is on drugs.
Do you? Well,
rang up the drug line and got the answer machine, and it said, if you would like some information on cannabis, press hash. Now, Don, I thought that was probably not the message to have on the drug line answer machine, but nevertheless. So are you finished with topics? Are you finished with topics? This bloke was on drugs and he was driving home. He was driving home because it's Christmas time coming up. This was last week. And the copper pulled him over and said, have you been on amphetamines? And the bloke said, look, I might have had just a... I'm not sure. And the bloke said, look, it's Christmas time. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you've got anything in your car or can just give me any indication about Christmas, either something to do with Christmas, I'll let you off. So the bloke reached into the back of his car and off the back seat brought out a pair of ladies' knickers. I'm not sure if what condition they're in, but he held them up and the copper said, what's that got to do with Christmas? And the bloke said, they're carols. So he let him off, Don.
You've heard this before?
So Don. Now, listen to this, Don. This is you can Google this if you like. You can so if the Rocket was here, he would be right onto this.
Well, why isn't he here?
Because the Rocket's having a sabbatical, I think, and he's moved on to other projects, I believe.
Oh, he's got a project.
No, I said he's probably moved on to other projects. You wait till I get some... read out some of the comments.
No, hang on. The comments are fine.
They're not bad about the Rocket.
No.
So this woman, now this is Delta Airlines in America. Now, if you are flying anywhere, Don,
thank
I don't know
God
if you're going to...
said Delta Airlines. I thought you were going to get into Delta Goodrum for something.
Get into Delta Goodrum?
Yeah, I thought. Delta. Jeez, where's this going? Delta Goodrum, thank God.
So anything called Delta, you immediately think of Goodrum.
Delta Goodrum.
Yeah. What about the Okavango Delta in Botswana?
No. You used the word Delta. Oh, God, here we go. Delta Goodrum, you're going to rip into her about something.
I'm not ripping her. She's a very lovely person and a good singer. And
that's good. I'm just glad I held my breath. And then I sighed relief when you said airline.
Right. Well, the Delta Airlines, this woman had to report they had security board the plane when it landed. It took off from Syracuse Airport in wherever that is.
America.
Yeah, I know, but I was trying to give the state. Is it Florida? I don't know where Syracuse is. New York? I don't know. And when it landed...
I think you're right. Isn't that the name of an airport? Jeez. I think you might be right, New York.
Passengers alerted to the flight attendant, flight attendants, to the fact that this woman had her... a blouse open and was breastfeeding a hairless cat and trying to get it, the cat, to, they call the term, latch onto the nipple of the woman breastfeeding the hairless cat. And the flight attendant said, madam, I didn't say madam, they weren't sure who it was. Well, if she was breastfeeding, it's got to be a biological woman, I suppose. I don't think men can breastfeed yet, can they?
Chest feed.
Chest, well done, Ivan, chest feeding this hairless cat. You think I'm making this up? You can Google it. And the woman, the flight attendant said, could you please put the cat back in its cage, in its little box? Because you're allowed to carry comfort animals on now, Don. Remember we had a little small Shetland pony, a bloke tried to get on the plane with a horse, said, that's my comfort animal. And goannas and iguanas. So she cut up really rough. She said it's feeding time for the hairless cat and she was trying to get it to breastfeed. It breastfeed and it was trying to get it to latch onto a nipple. So there was a bit of kerfuffle there because the person sitting next to the woman in 13B, she was in 13A, the person sitting next to the woman trying to breastfeed the hairless cat took exception to this because he was about to have a martini just to have his lunch or his evening meal as the plane was going and suddenly saw this cat with its fucking claws and thing around this woman's breasts. So they escorted her off the plane. Now, what do you think would happen to her? That she would probably say, no, that's my comfort animal or support animal and I'm allowed to breastfeed it. Where does it start and end on is my point. She'll probably sue the airline for not letting her breastfeed
a hairless cat.
Yeah, hairless. Have you seen a hairless cat?
No, I haven't.
You look like a hairless cat.
That's right.
You've no hair.
Okay.
So I just thought that's where we've got to with people taking advantage of these ridiculous woke rules that suddenly have enveloped the world because no one's going to push back on this nonsense. Nonsense, Don.
Mm. Syracuse, a city in New York State. There you go.
Well done, Ivan.
Jeez, we don't need Rodney
Rocket.
Did
I say New York?
We don't need Rodney Rocket. That was his job.
Oh, no, you do that faster.
He does it faster.
Yeah.
Well, now, Don. You're very good. What do you do that on your mobile phone?
Yeah, and then I set the clock from it.
Now, Don, I'm just going to bring up, Don and Ivan, I'm going to bring up, and you jump in with a topic if you wish.
Oh, well, I just wanted to talk about the environment.
Go ahead.
Anyway, no.
No, I've got other stuff. Go on.
Because I've just put some bees in, and I'm just wondering, I've been observing
bees.
Bees, you know, bees, they fly around.
Not the letters. Oh, no, the bees, the insects.
You know, actually, no, you wouldn't.
They cross-pollinate.
That'd be very therapeutic for you, but you live in a unit, and unfortunately they wouldn't have any... Well, they probably
wouldn't have any flowers.
Nectar. They would find nectar, I suppose.
You did speak about this the other week, you know.
Anyway... I've just been watching the flowers and the effect that they have, and I wonder whether we could use them more for environmental reasons, bees, because they have encouraged flower growth down on the farm.
Can I just get this straight, Don? You've been sitting down on your property in Mornington.
Watching bees.
Watching the
very
flowers.
Very therapeutic.
Watching
the flowers. You've got to observe.
Out on your porch.
That's right. And the clover flower has really taken off in the front paddock.
Sitting in an easy chair.
No. You get
watching
out and walk. Get out and observe
flowers.
And walk. And watch the flower growth.
You ever watch the flowers open their
the
petals?
The succulents. I've never seen the succulents flower before.
The flocculent sour.
They are flowering at the moment. Why? Because the bees have been introduced to the garden. And I just think that maybe bees should be looked at a little more seriously as far as the environment is concerned.
They are the bellwether, Don. They're the bellwether of the...
So here we go. So you're an authority on bees.
I am. Not on bees.
Oh,
they are the bellwether of the state of the planet, Don.
Oh,
they are the bellwether.
So where have you got this information
well,
from?
Well, that's just general knowledge, Don. I have a smattering, a modicum of general knowledge, unlike yourself.
A lack of general knowledge.
No, I have a lot of general knowledge, not specific knowledge about any one topic, but
well,
general.
Tell me about bees, your knowledge on bees, because I'm learning.
Well, that is how crops and vegetables...
yes, I understand. They
proliferate because they... Put their get the nectar out, and then it gets the pollen gets onto their legs, and then they go to the next flower.
That's right. Well
and they
done.
Introduce the male and the female species
of flowers.
What I'm saying
is, do you think there are enough bees around? Well, and what they're doing at my place, I wonder whether they should be encouraged more. I know they take them to the almond farms in New South Wales, and you know by the truckloads beehives by the truckloads to pollinate.
Did you say, do I think there are enough bees? Don, I'm not that much of a... I haven't studied that much. I'm not sure how many bees you would call a lot. But there's probably... You can't have an overabundance of bees, I wouldn't say.
Well, I don't think it's been gone into, and I just wonder, you know, what they're doing to the flowers in my garden and in the, you know, the clover in the paddock. I haven't.
Well, you could sit and study them more closely
with some
binoculars.
I just think that somebody of a higher ilk than myself...
intelligence.
Yes, should look into the
bee population.
The advantage of having bees.
Do you know, now here's another bit of general knowledge, Don. Do you know a lot of the honey on the market is hybrid honey? It's
mixed from different places. Is that what you're saying?
Mixed from different ingredients. It's not necessarily honey.
Well,
it can be sucrose and it can be... I can't think of glucose. It can be, and it's very rare and very sought after. Pure honey, if you read the back of it, is actually not pure honey. It's very specific.
That's right.
Market.
I'm very specific. It's specific when I go and buy my honey.
Very specific, Don. So do you read the back of it?
Yes, and I use it. In actual fact, I used it on the horse. Now, do you realise that honey, horse, has got medicinal properties as well?
Is that the Manuka honey?
I used a honey first from just straight out with the honeycomb still on it.
Yes.
So, well, in my view, that was unadulterated.
Unadulterated, Don, obviously.
So I put that on the horse's leg, and I've used it before. In fact, I have used a spider web. I was advised to use a spider web because it is a sterile, and you mix it with the honey and you shove it in the puncture.
Don?
In the puncture wound horse had on its rump.
And why did the horse have a puncture wound on its
rump? How would you know, Ivan? These horses.
You didn't prod it with the whip a bit heavily, did you? Or just trying to discipline it, didn't give it a smash around the slats with a big stick?
Anyway.
So you put a spider web in there.
In because of the spider web, you mix the honey and the spider web, shove it in the puncture wound, and it heals as if there's no scar left. There is absolutely nothing.
Better get all this.
I've also heard that they may be starting to use honey in hospitals too.
And spider webs?
Well, they could because it is sterile, I've been told. And you can mix the honey and the sterile.
I know a bloke was in hospital, got bitten on the funnel with a finger web spider, Don. He was rushed to hospital with
what?
He's bitten on the funnel.
Funnel?
With a finger web.
A finger web spider? Yeah. Is that a new variety of spider? What is it called? A finger web.
We're getting out of we're just getting these topics out of the way before the doc comes in from Sydney. Did you know the doc, for the seventh time, this is true, has won the Broadcaster of the Year.
Did he tell you that?
Hmm?
Did he fax that through?
No, he didn't.
He's not promoting himself?
No, he's not.
He did a very good job at the interview last week.
You know, let me answer all those questions. No, he didn't fax that in. B, he didn't promote himself. I looked him up. He won the award for the seventh time, the best broadcaster, and he is condescended, Don, to ring us at 9:30 every Wednesday to give us some topics other than you bitten on the finger with a funnel web spider and all that stuff and bees and you watching your flowers grow off your porch with bees fucking around on them. And me saying a hairless cat was trying to be breastfed by Sheila on Delta Airlines. So, Don, this is the final. Probably trivial thing. Now, I know you think I'm making this up. So, listen to this, Don. And there's a bigger question why I say this, because it's just what people do to themselves is more to the point of what I'm reading out. I'll read this out now. This is what happened. The Sun newspaper reported this in Britain. The Bomb Squad, this is the Sun, a reputable paper. The Bomb Squad received an emergency call after a patient was rushed to hospital with a World War II artillery shell stuck up his rectum.
Oh, God.
Don. I'll get it on the wires for you.
This, Ivan?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Can you
verify this?
Bomb yes. Squad, England, artillery shell.
Up your ass.
Up your ass, hang Don. On. So people were putting the gerbil. We heard of Kiki Rosberg.
Yeah, I know.
Kiki, what's his name? Put the gerbil up his coit. Well, this man, and when he was, the bomb squad were called to the hospital because they thought it might explode.
If you found it, Ivan?
I have 2 days ago. UK bomb squad called to Gloucester Hospital after man gets World War II anti-tank shell stuck up his rectum.
Go ahead.
Hang on. The anti-tank shell is enormous. It's a big...
Don, that's just my point. This is like... Go on.
Come on, Ivan.
Oh, keep going.
Yes.
We can confirm an Army Explosive Ordnance Disposal team was called out to Gloucestershire at the request of local police. Defence has confirmed.
That's
hang on.
No, don't even I'm just trying to visualise this. Oh, you're trying to visualise a World War II ordnance up someone's ass, are you, Don? You're trying to visualise that?
It'd be rusty and bloody contaminated.
Don, it's, thank you, Ivan. Well done. Thank you, Ivan. You've taken beautifully over from Rocket with confirming this. You guys, I know you looked at me thinking I'm making that up just to be
controversial.
Smutty.
Yeah,
or,
that's right.
Or gratuitously grubby.
Yes, right.
So the bigger point of this is, Don, bigger point, you know, here you've heard a fire in the hole. Have you heard that expression when they...
Navy, yes.
Yeah, they say fire in the hole. Yes. This is a whole new meaning to the word fire in a hole. So, Don, the doctors, and I spoke to the doctor from Israel.
What about the slug up his arse?
He said you'd be amazed at the number of people that get admitted to casualty with things stuck up their bottoms.
Did he give an example?
Well, World War II shell.
Yeah, anything else? Did
gerbil,
he elaborate?
Gerbil.
Well, no. We all know about that. The shell's new.
Any object that might turn
what
on...
What did he say?
He said it's extraordinary.
What things get up people's arse, in other words? So that's what I want to know. Elaborate. We're hanging on each word you're saying.
Pieces of fruit and vegetable.
Really? Really?
Cylindrical shaped objects.
What, like what?
Well,
do you question the man, wouldn't you?
Like the gear stick on your car or your tow bar large glasses or bottles.
Really?
Yeah, you ream yourself with bottles. So, Don, and he said...
I'm flinching.
He said... At least three or four times a week, people are admitted to casualty for emergency retrieval of things up their coit. Now, Don, my point is, and they always say, no one put it up there. He said I fell on it or I sat on it by mistake. And that's the excuse is I sat on it. Now, how would you sit on a World War II?
What happens if it was dead? It'd blow your fucking ass off, wouldn't it?
That's why the bomb squad were called to the hospital. They thought it might have exploded. And you know how the intestinal gas ignited a pocket of flame when Kiki tried to get the gerbil back out of the bloke's bottom.
Yeah, but that was because he put a naked light. But you're not going to do that with a bomb.
And exploded and set fire to the gerbil's hair and broke the bloke's nose as it was ejected out his ass.
You've got to detonate the... You've got to hit it with a hammer or something.
So, Don, if a World War II ordnance has been lying in a paddock and you disturb it or step on it or whatever, if they were trying to get it out with a pair of tongs or
vice grips, very careful.
That's right. That's why they called the bomb squad in to defuse it. So you couldn't just, in case a spark...
You'd have to rub Vaseline or something on it, wouldn't you?
I don't think there'd be enough Vaseline in the world to ease out a World War II ordnance from someone's bottom.
Petroleum.
That's a pretty big thing. It comes out of a tank in World War II. I haven't read that out. Anyhow, Don, so I've just...
So how did they get it out? Let's get to the end of the story. That's what we'd like to know. No, is the man all right?
Here we go. So he said he put it on the floor
and he slipped on the floor?
Shut up, Don.
He put the anti-tank...
So they got it out.
To what he's saying.
Shut up, John.
Well, you shut up.
The patient's been released from hospital and is expected to make a full recovery. He said he put it on the floor and he slipped and fell on it and it went up my...
bullshit. That is bullshit.
That's what the doctor said.
Ivan, how did they get it out?
They don't elaborate. No, they don't say. They just said...
How do you reckon they got it out?
Well, I don't know.
They bomb squad carefully put some vice grips up his aort and eased it out with a fair amount of lubrication, Don, and put it into a big cloth bag which was sealed, and they took it out and they exploded it out in a paddock. And your point is very, very valid, Don. Had it gone off in the hospital with the bomb squad, if an ordinary locum had tried to get it out with a bloody hammer or something and it exploded, he would have had his intestines in his ass over the greater area of Gloucestershire, Don, along with the hospital and everyone else in it. So that's why they called the bomb squad in, Don. the Army Retrieval Bomb Squad. So there's a couple of topics I thought you'd be interested in.
Well, that was a ripper.
Now,
It's got a lot of connotations, that, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, don't think about
it. I'm thinking about the other.
So do you remember, Don, and Ivan, I don't want you to say, oh, you did this last week, about the loot, there's graffiti and looting going on. Looting, there are gangs of organised people looting stores, particularly in America, and it's happening here too. They go in, they have no fear because they wear ski masks, and they just smash things and they intimidate the staff and the customers. Now, here's my point about looting. How about people who make products like jewellery or white goods or clothes? They never make them completed. You have to, if you buy something, have to go to the counter and you get the final piece of final piece of the fit, the puzzle, or whatever fits and makes the product work. You have to get it from the counter on the way out. So that if you just go in and loot stores and shelves and smash...
Yeah, that's very good. So what type of goods are you referring to?
Well, say jewellery. So, or watches. So how would you
What would you do? Not put the hands on the watch?
No, you would put the hands on the watch, but you would not put the thing that makes the battery work, or you'd not put the band on it, or you'd not put the glass, the face on it, so that...
I think I'd go for the hands.
No, but you can't dismantle the hands. You need a technical expert to do that.
Well, they're jewellers, aren't they?
No, well, Don. So if you have a diamond necklace or a gold chain, you have the clip that goes onto it. It's missing, so you can't clip it on until you go to the counter and you have a person trained to put the clip on in the final link.
Sean, I think I could cut your argument down, because I would be going, if I did that, stole the necklace, I think I'd be going to another jeweller just to get the clasp put on.
If people are alerted to the fact, jewellers who are alerted to the fact that if someone comes in and wants a clasp put on a piece of jewellery, it would be a reasonable assumption it's been stolen, they wouldn't do it. That's my point. Or so if you're going to buy a radio or some white goods, there's a critical part of the white goods or the radio or the earphones or the headsets or whatever, or the computers, that don't make it work once you've paid for it. You go to the counter and they give you the final piece of equipment that makes it work. So it'd be pointless. Or handbags, you don't put the zip or the strap or something. No, Don, there's people pinching expensive handbags like Louis Vuitton handbags and Birkin handbags cost 60 grand.
Just take the Louis Vuitton signature thing off the badge.
No, you wouldn't. That doesn't stop it working. Why? That you'd take the zip or the flap off it or the strap, or so that people have to then, who pinch it, go and try and get them to work properly. And then when they go to the place that actually will make the bag better, those people alert the police. And so that would be a good way to stop people looting stores. Clothes.
I was wondering when this had come up, because everybody's still wearing the mask, the COVID mask. And so we walk into a store, more or less undetected, or you're not suspicious, and I don't know why it hasn't come to the fore before now.
Well, so Don, it is ripe and rampant in America. Rife.
But you said it was happening here in Melbourne.
I said it is to a small degree. There's organised gangs of people, but in America it is absolutely rife. And there's big stores just closing down because they just can't put up with, they just can't, the expense of replacing the goods and all the smashed windows. And that would be a good way to make sure that the stuff you pinch is not operable, or you can't use it because there's a piece of equipment or something missing of it. And we had terrific response, Don, to the fact about the graffiti. Just have a look at the new roads and baffles, silence baffles and acoustic baffles going on. There's the pieces of shit.
Hang on, you said this last week.
The bacteria that keep defacing this city, particularly on the freeways, the new freeways, they look fantastic, and now they're starting to scribble on them. And we've had terrific response to the fact what a very good idea, Sam, was of yours to put trenches in front of the baffles and grow trees in front, and then you can do graffiti all you like because you can't graffiti a tree. Now, that's this is so we've just had a bit of feedback there. I wasn't going to mention.
Just talking about the feedback, something came to mind. Could you tell me what the job of the Lord Mayor is? Is it a marketing job or a promotional job, or is there... like the mayor used to do, look after bylaws and whatever else, that type of thing.
Sally Capp?
Yes.
Yes. That's a very interesting question, Don. I heard her talking about Melbourne's back in town and get out and buy us.
So that's what raised my thing. No, I've asked you a question. What is the job? Is it marketing, promotional?
I think so.
Is the Lord Mayor's job a highly paid marketing job?
It's not highly paid. I know all about that because when I was going to stand to be the Lord Mayor, I was just wondering what authority I, as the Lord Mayor, would have had. Do you have it over the council, over the Victorian police, over the Australian government, or are you just a figurehead?
Or a marketing tool.
Yeah, marketing tool.
Is that your job, marketing? I'd be good at marketing.
And the salary, I don't think, you wouldn't do it for the money.
What's the salary?
I think, from memory, I think it is... I think it's a few perks and a car and an office and staff, and I think it's 180,000.
Well, that's all right for 200.
Yeah. I didn't think it was 200. Might be now, but I thought it was about 180,000.
Well, that's all right for a marketing job.
Absolutely.
Oh, it depends how. See, it depends how much time and effort you want to put into it. He didn't used to go to the opening of things because, and please don't.
Okay, I know where you're going with this.
He wasn't articulate enough, and people couldn't understand. He's a very good man, but they couldn't understand what he was fucking talking about when they. So he delegated his authority, and I'm sure Sally Capp goes along and opens things and. It's really just a figurehead job, I think.
I wonder whether they still got the big Daimler. The Lord Mayor had a car and a driver.
Yeah,
in my day, I worked there.
When you mentioned Daimler,
Bentley or whatever else.
Was sitting. Listen to this. This bloke, we're just getting ready for the call from. I'll get this in. We mightn't be able to get it in. This bloke, Jack. This colonel was sitting in his office one day and he thought it had nothing to do and he rang up the supply department. This kid answered the phone, had been in the army a week, and said, "What do you want?" And the colonel couldn't believe anyone would speak to him like that. He said, "Quickly, my boy, get pad and pen, go out the back and give me a complete stock on hand of all the infantry we've got." The kid said, "Hang on a minute, will you?" And the colonel was incensed. The kid came back, he said, "Are you there?" And the colonel said, "Of course I'm." He said, "We've got 22 guns, 14 tanks, 9 motorbikes and 1 Daimler for the fat-assed colonel." And the colonel said, "I beg your pardon." He said, "22 guns, 32 and 1 Daimler for the fat-assed colonel." And the colonel said, "I beg your pardon, do you know who's speaking down this end?" And the kid said, "No, I do not." He said, "For your information, this is the fat-assed colonel." And the kid said, "Oh, fuck." He said, "Do you know who's speaking down this end?" And the colonel said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, go and get fucked." That bloke was driving a Daimler. Now, Jack, we got
who, the fat ass colonel or the kid?
No, the kid. What am I doing? We're getting ready. We're getting nervous, Don. We're getting ready.
No, you're getting nervous. No, we're everybody else is just.
We're getting ready for the doctor to ring in, and he'll be. What have I got to do, Jack? Nothing. We've got to turn that on.
We've got quite a staff here now, haven't we? We've got Ivan doing research,
Ivan's
we've got Jack
doing the
technical.
You boys will just.
Jeez, we just sit here. This is just like a radio show producer, isn't it?
You've got to turn the volume up.
Here we go.
On the phone.
Yeah, do you know what to do, Jack? You listen to your old man. He'll tell you what to do.
Yep, there you go.
Which are the headphones? Come on, Jack, please. Anyhow, this is... So, the Daimler... So, that was about the Daimler, Don.
Where's the doctor? What time is it?
So, he's coming in now. Well, we don't want to keep...
Should we have a break?
No.
Why not?
All right.
People can't go on listening to us. Yeah.
All right.
They need a break.
Changed in the car again.
Right, we're having a break. So, hang on. We're having a break, Jack. So, here we go. What am I doing?
No. Try again. There, well done.